Hello and welcome to worship. In these joyful days of Eastertide, we think of those early stories of disciples learning to form new communities, a scared community transformed by Jesus' presence, a united community learning to share what they had to make a difference, a new community embodying ancient poetry about the fragrance of harmony. We gather together today in churches and around screens as a dispersed but loving community, united in our love of the risen Lord and our desire to serve him all the days long. My name is Andy Braunston and I'm delighted to lead worship for you today. I am the United Reformed Church's Minister for Digital Worship, and I live up in Orkney, a close-knit community of people with a wide range of jobs, backgrounds and attitudes. As God's people, united around the empty tomb, let us worship God together.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Rejoice, heavenly powers. Sing, choirs of angels. Rejoice, O earth, in shining splendour. Christ has conquered. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Glory fills you. Darkness vanishes forever.
Rejoice, heavenly powers. Sing, choirs of angels.
Rejoice, O Mother Church. The risen Saviour shines upon you. Let this place resound with joy, echoing the mighty song of all God's people.
Now the green
We think today about the different communities that are described in our readings. The exciting, unified and energetic early church, and the traumatized disciples who lock themselves away for fear of the authorities. We think too of the short Psalm 133, which extols unity as a sign of God's blessing. Let's pray as we listen for God's word.
Let us be, O Spirit, of one heart and mind, that as we hear the word read and proclaimed, we may be words which tell of the word, Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. Amen.
Acts 4:32-35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need.
The reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Our readings this week address trauma and joy, unity and giving, grace and mystery, and that old psalm about Aaron's beard. All our readings are about community and have much they can offer us. Our gospel reading has the disciples gathered in fear and despondency. They'd lost their Lord to political manoeuvres, an unjust, hurried trial, dreadful torture, and an excruciating death. The men had all run off, but now, together, they were locked up in a room for fear of the authorities. I wonder if they felt guilt for not standing up for Jesus. I wonder if they felt despair, not knowing what was to happen next. I wonder how they felt about Judas, once at the centre of their community as treasurer, no longer with them after his own despair led to suicide. I wonder how they felt about Peter, denying even knowing Jesus. I wonder how Peter felt. Did they bicker? Did they stick together as there was nowhere else to go? The gospel writer lets us wonder about the state they were in, but without much ado, Jesus appears, standing among them, bidding them peace. I expect peace was the last reaction they had as they realised who was with them. Excitement, joy, denial, tears, confession, maybe, but probably not peace. In fact, Jesus has to tell them peace twice and has to show them his hands and his side. I think they probably didn't believe it was him. After a bit of peace descending, Jesus commissioned them to forgive by breathing the Holy Spirit upon them. Then we're taken to poor Thomas, who hadn't been present for this peaceful commissioning. A bit more trauma for Thomas, feeling excluded, and so another appearance is given. We can relate to this shattered community. We know what trauma is. We know what fear is. Over COVID, so much was lost in our society and in our churches. The tender bonds that hold us together were strained with not being able to meet. Those who managed to provide worship by Zoom, recordings, phone messages, and printed orders did so much to help a community navigate national traumas. The anger still felt at parties in Downing Street is a sign of the depth of the trauma we experienced. We remember funerals being pared down to the minimum, missed hospital checkups leading to problems later, infections out of control in nursing homes. It's a trauma that's still fresh in our minds and our experience. We have, however, other traumas too. In our lifetimes, we've seen the decline of the church from being a significant institution in our society to something marginal and ignored. We realise that social trends have engulfed us, and while society wonders about spirituality, we've squandered a lot of our time debating things that society has already made its mind up about. Many congregations struggle to keep their numbers stable, itself a form of church growth, in the face of decline and death. There's a trauma here in seeing a church we love decline, and a puzzle at why people are less interested in religion than they used to be. We need Jesus giving us peace, just as those disciples did. Then there's the reading from Acts, oddly being read first in the lectionary order in place of the usual Old Testament text. It relays what happened to the community of the church after Pentecost. We don't know how much time had passed since the events recorded in John's Gospel, but here is a community which is no longer afraid. Here is a community that knows what it's about. Here is a community of one heart and soul, where goods and lives were shared. Here is a community where people could testify to the power of Jesus' resurrection. Here is a community where the weaker members in need were helped. Here is a community where the peace of Christ has both taken root and energized them in unity, proclamation, and compassion. Here is a community which is growing. Here is a community which lives out the words of the short Psalm 133, which sees how good and pleasant it is for kindred to live together in unity. Can we relate to this vision of community? Can we see the joy that comes from unity? Of course, unity is part of our DNA in the United Reformed Church, with differing traditions coming together and with our commitment now to ecumenical relationships. We know how good it feels when a congregation agrees on and delivers a project, helping at the food bank, providing an after-school club, welcoming asylum seekers, and getting castigated in the press for doing so. When projects work well, they can unleash energy and even draw people into the life of the church. We may not have images of oil on beards as a sign of joy, but we certainly can appreciate the gift of unity, especially after a period of discord. I wonder if our local congregations tend more to the first community we thought about, the fearful, traumatized disciples, or the second, the mission-centered, confident early church. Of course, these were not essentially different communities. The first leads to the second. That mysterious encounter with the risen Lord led the traumatized, bickering, guilt-ridden disciples into the unified, confident community of proclamation that changed the world. In our congregations, we have choices arising from our mysterious encounters with the risen Jesus. We can choose to be dominated by the traumas of the age, or choose to proclaim the new life in Christ that brings peace. We can choose to bicker, give in to guilt and recrimination when things go wrong, or be united in our purpose. We can hoard what we have for the rainy day that never comes, or share with those in need. We can tear down our communities with arguments about inconsequential stuff, or build them up with a focus on the needs that are so apparent around us. We can stay fearful in the face of decline, or become confident in our unity and our belief that God hasn't finished with us yet. We can have a false unity where we're only focused on the needs of our members, or use that God-given unity to serve those outside the church who need so much. As we meet the Lord in the proclaimed word, the quiet places, the hymns and songs we sing, in each other, and in the bread and wine where we're fed by His own hand, let's not only breathe in His peace, but share it. This Eastertide, let's decide to change, to turn away from the understandable fears and traumas that beset our congregations and our common life together in society, and instead choose to serve. This Eastertide, let's welcome the peace that Jesus brings to us in our fears and insecurities, and reach out to heal the wounded. This Eastertide, let's set aside our petty divisions and unite in a common purpose to proclaim the good news of the risen Jesus, who heals, brings peace, and reminds us that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, bring us your peace as we touch you in this place. Open our eyes to see you in each other, our ears to hear you in the proclaimed word, our hearts to taste you in bread and wine, and fill our senses as we smell you in the poor and forsaken, that your peace will both unite and disturb us, that, like the disciples of old, we might proclaim and embody your saving love. Amen.
We declare what was known from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own hearts. Jesus is risen. We declare that abundant life is revealed and we have seen it, experienced it, and lived it. For Jesus is risen. We declare that we have fellowship with God, the source of all life, the risen Lord, and the Holy Spirit, who calls us to unity. For Jesus is risen. We declare that in this fellowship with God there is no obscurity, and we are called to live in the light, for Jesus is risen. We declare that when we wander back into the gloom, the one who loved, lived and died for us and for the world forgives and calls us home, for Jesus is risen. Amen.
Let us pray. O Holy Trinity, the dance of your love gives a pattern for our lives and communities. In the love that flows within you and out to all creation, we find our dignity, explore our unity, and proclaim abundant life. Listen to us now, as we bring our prayers for our world to you. We pray for communities devastated by war, division and conflict, where bombs are heard more than laughter, where evil preys on women and children, where men find hope in hatred, and where blood, not oil, flows from beards. We pray for communities living with trauma, where the pandemic still bites, where religious and ethnic diversity is used as a weapon, where fear divides and conquers, where poverty kills, and where lies attack truth. We pray for peace, the peace that the risen Lord brings, the peace which disturbs as much as it comforts, the peace which makes us look out from our own pain to the mission fields before us. In the silence of our hearts, we bring to you, O Trinity of Love, those we love and worry about, and who are in any kind of need. We join our prayers together, O God, as we pray, as Jesus taught, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Many things are needed to build communities and to allow them to flourish. Open hearts, time, love, forbearance, honesty, and an attitude of generous giving. We give of our time, talents, and treasure to build communities, and sometimes we must give without counting the cost. The charities and causes we wish to support suffer from the cost of living crisis, as do our congregations. Jesus' peace allows us to relax and not worry, but doesn't absolve us of the need to give. So now, in this service, we give thanks for all that is given to build up our churches. Eternal God, Before the ages you yearned with love and brought creation into being. You gave of yourself, eventually giving yourself to die for us. You give us your peace, a disturbing peace which drives us to mission. Bless now these gifts, small tokens of our gratitude, that all we give will build your realm. Amen.
God is here.
God's Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give God our thanks and praise.
It is our duty and our joy to worship God.
Living God, out of chaos and darkness, your creative word called light into being, and life in all its fullness. Though in the garden we chose to disobey you, and death entered our world, you are the bringer of life from the places of death. You saved Noah and his family from the flood, and passed over the children of Israel when death struck the firstborn of Egypt. You let your people out from slavery in Egypt and exile in Babylon. You saved Jonah from the belly of the whale and Daniel from the lion's den. By your power, Sarah and Hannah brought forth sons, and Ruth the stranger became the mother of kings.
Rejoice, heavenly powers! Sing, choirs of angels! Rejoice, O earth, in shining splendor! Christ has conquered! Jesus Christ, our King, is risen! Glory fills you, darkness vanishes forever! Rejoice, O Mother Church! The risen Saviour shines upon you! Let this place resound with joy, echoing the mighty song of all God's people.
Therefore, with all your people in heaven and on earth, we sing the triumphant hymn of your glory. On a dark night, during his life on earth, the light of your Son's presence brought hope to the lost and healing to the sick. He preached good news to the poor and ate with sinners. For this he was pursued to death. For this the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let us proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We praise you that the darkness could not hold him, for he was raised at dawn to bring new life to the world. By his power, sin is purged, innocence restored to the fallen, joy to the mourners. Hatred is vanquished, tyranny laid low. Harmony reigns, heaven and earth are united, and humanity is reconciled with God. The morning star has risen, never again to set. His light becomes our light. His spirit is ours. May our lives shine with the radiance of his glory, and this bread and wine lead us to the feasting of the kingdom, where we shall be raised to see him face to face, in the glory of the Blessed Trinity, through all ages. Amen. Let us pray. God of all hope, we bless and thank you for nourishing us with Christ, the bread of life. Help us to live free from all desires for anything else that promises to satisfy. Strengthen us now to offer this bread to all who hunger. Through Jesus Christ, the living bread, we pray. Amen. May the one who calls us to unity, the one who brings us disturbing peace, the one who drives us to serve, enable you to build community, heal wounds, and show love in action. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and all whom you love, now and always. Amen. Thank you.